Extraordinary form of the Mass, the calendar that belongs to the 1962 Missal, there is not only the feast of Our Lady of Sorrows on September 15th, which corresponds to the triumph of the cross, but there is also the feast of the Seven Sorrows of Our Lady on the Friday before Holy Week, 1 week before Good Friday. In the old calendar, it's directed to be a memorial associated with the ferial day of the Friday and Passiontide. But in special circumstances or where there's great devotion to the Blessed Mother, it can be celebrated also as a feast. In the new rite, in our own community, the Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate, we have been permitted to institute in the Novus Ordo also the Feast of the Seven Sorrows of Our Lady, Co-Redemptrix, on this Friday. And so it isn't the same feast as September 15th. It's similar but different. Just as, for example, you have two feasts of the Eucharist. You have one during the Easter Triduum on Holy Thursday, which emphasizes the institution of the priesthood and the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And then you have Corpus Christi, which emphasizes really the real presence. And so we have this feast. And then you have the Feast of the Triumph of the Cross, for example, which is associated with the finding of the cross by St. Helena, and then you have Good Friday. And then we have these two Marian feasts associated with both of them, Our Lady of Sorrows associated with the triumph, and hence that aspect of Our Lady's sorrow, which is ultimately triumphant. And then we have today's feast associated with Good Friday, which is an opportunity for us to remember the sorrows of Our Lady and to have compassion on her sorrows and to begin our celebration of Holy Week, which begins the day after tomorrow, in the company of the Blessed Mother, to walk to Calvary with her. And so we pray in the collect from today's Mass. We beseech thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, let thy mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, whose holy soul was pierced by a sword of sorrow at the hour of thy passion, implore thy mercy for us both now and at the hour of our death, through Christ our Lord. So we come before our Holy Mother, who is pierced with the sword of sorrow, and we beg her mercy. We beg God's mercy through her. And we come before her realizing that it is by our hand that the sword of sorrow has pierced her soul, that the seven swords have pierced her heart. And as we come before her and experience her loving mercy, the reality of her spiritual maternity, which she received at the foot of the cross when our Lord gave St. John to her as her child and St. John welcomed her into his home. As we come before her, we can remember her gratuitous love for us and the superabundant love of the Blessed Mother for each of us who are her wayward children. We don't really deserve her love, but nevertheless, she loves each and every one of us as the best of mothers, because she has, in this openness to God's will and to the redemption of mankind, she has exposed herself to every sorrow that ever existed. I mean, our Lord is the man of sorrows. He took upon himself the sins of each and every one of us. And Our Lady enters into that sorrow out of love for mankind. We look at the crucifix and we think of divine love. We think about how much God has loved us. That's been translated into the statue of the Sacred Heart and into the image of the Divine Mercy, both of which we cannot see at the moment. But that is one of the reasons, by the way, for the veiling, especially of the crucifix, is we know the reality of Christ's love for us by looking at the crucifix. And now somehow we have to assimilate that. We have to go beyond what is revealed to our eyes and bring that into our heart and know the power of God that exists because Christ faced death for us, because His Blessed Mother allowed her heart to be martyred for us. This is something that at the beginning of Holy Week, the end of Lent, we have to resolve to assimilate. We have to beg our Blessed Mother to allow us to walk with her and her Son to Calvary, to allow us to take the place of St. John and have the courage to stand. In St. John's Gospel today, from the 19th chapter, we read about the last will and testament of our Lord. And St. John makes a point of saying twice that Our Lady stood at the time there stood by the cross of Jesus, His mother, etc. And then when Jesus therefore had seen His mother and the disciples standing whom He loved. So he makes a point. St. John very often gives us little details that some might think are insignificant, like he tells us that the well, Jacob's well, was very deep. You know, there's little details that sometimes seem to be incidental, but in fact they are extraordinarily important. In this case, it's a fact that Our Lady and St. John had courage and resignation, and they persevered, and they didn't turn back. They didn't run away. They didn't try to escape. They didn't turn away from the cross. All of us need to do that each and every day of our life. And this time of grace, this time as we enter into Holy Week, is a moment in which heaven is opened to give us this grace. This is what we celebrate liturgically. It's what we solemnize. And therefore, it is a particular grace that we can pray for at this moment. And there is no one else better to turn to than the Mother of Sorrows, Our Lady of the Seven Sorrows, who has opened her heart to each and every one of us. 1 week to Good Friday. Let us spend this week in the company of Our Lady of Sorrows.